lifestyle that they lived obviously brought a lot of confusion and a lot of havoc in our home and a lot of mess. Just lived a messed up life as a young man, and that I know of, that I remember, first time I tasted alcohol, I was 6, marijuana, I was 8. And so at a very young age, I experienced something that would take hold on my life and take me down a road that I didn't want to go. And it wasn't until I was 17, my dad got saved somewhere around, I was 8 or 9 years old. Right about the time my sin began to pick up was the time my dad got saved. And he took us to church a few times, and I tried the church thing, but it didn't make sense to me. And I was well on my way to just being a rebellious teenager and living my life. And so for 8 years or something, I did that. And by the time I got 17, I had hit rock bottom, and I had absolutely wrecked and ruined my life. And I'm glad God saved me. I thought, man, I've tried everything. Might as well give Jesus a chance. And I sure am glad I gave him a chance. But did well for about 2 years, 2.5 years, and I fell off the bandwagon and just didn't understand Christianity. It seemed like a lot for me. Man, you go from, you know, rock and roll music and rap music to where you can't even have music with a drum in it. It'll mess you up, man. I mean, you know, we run around naked. We ain't allowed to wear shorts no more, man. Good night, son. This is rough. But just the standards and everything and Christianity, and of course, getting saved at 17, all the kids in the youth group were going to where I came from. I'm trying to get in church, trying to get right with God, and they're all headed to the hog pit. And I didn't understand it. And it kind of confused me, and I got out and ended up getting stuck behind bars, and I am glad for the day that I got put in jail. Because it was the first time in my life. I remember I had a guy, while I was in jail, had a guy bring me my Bible, and I began to read in the book of Psalms. And, you know, I just wanted to read somewhere that was easy. And I made a deal with God. I said, Lord, I don't really know if you're real. I don't understand this whole thing, but I'm going to read every word of this thing until it makes sense to me. And I begin in Psalm chapter 1. That's a good place to start. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Man, I wasn't a sentence in, and I was already in trouble. God began to work on my heart, and I got to Psalm 46, verse 10. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. And God began to speak in my heart, and I had a conversation. I remember the conversation. I said, Lord, what do you want? Why am I here? He said, because you won't sit still long enough for me to get a hold of you. And he said, I got to sit you here to get you still long enough to listen to me.
That's right.
And I said, what do you want? He said, I just want you to know I'm God. He said, I just want you to know that Christianity has nothing to do really with you and your church or you and your pastor or you and your family. It has all to do with me and you. And he said, you've walked away from me. You didn't walk away from the church. You walked away from me. And he said, I'm trying to get a hold of you. And that day I said, well, I guess we used to have a saying in jail, your best thinking got you here. How you doing? So I realized, I guess my best thinking got me there, so I wasn't doing real well. So I just said, well, why don't you give it a try? And what I said to God was, God, I have messed up my life, and I'm not really sure. I didn't understand God at the time. I said, I don't know if you could really fix what I've messed up. But if you want, here you go. Humor me. Humor me. I mean, I didn't really think he was going to do it. I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. And man, he messed things up. Man, Amen. He messed it up.
Amen.
And I'm glad I messed up tonight. Amen. Glad I'm not on that road. And then I got out and called my pastor. I said, listen, man, I can't go back to the old neighborhoods. I can't go back to the old life. So I ended up going to Brother Patterson's home. I did 10 months in the program, then ended up working for him. And I started driving a bus for him and drove his girls home around the country. And he had a meeting and wanted my father-in-law to come down and preach. So I met my wife in the ministry, and everything's just been uphill since then. I got 2 beautiful children. This is my 5th year. This year will end my 5th year in evangelism. And I'm telling you now, the only thing I ever did was say, God, here you go. You do something with it.
Amen.
I can't do nothing with it. I'm not going to do anything with it. And what I did with it sure didn't work very well. So if you want it, here you go.
Amen.
And I'm now, like I said, 5th year in evangelism. And I don't have a clue, just like most of us, what I'm doing. But I'm doing my best trying to just do something for God. And it's been a glorious ride. I took way too much time doing that. But just want to get that out. Sometimes you just got to get it out. You got to get it out. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'll be in this portion of Scripture. Let's pray and spiritualize this thing, and then we'll, Lord willing, get into the message. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you, and I just want to say you sure have been good to me. Sure have been a wonderful God to me, Lord, and I've not been a good son. I've not been a good child, but I know you've been a good father. I've messed up more than I could even count, Lord, and don't deserve to be behind the pulpit tonight. I don't deserve it, Lord, but I thank you for it. And here I am now, and I just pray that, God, you'd make me a vessel, Lord. You'd just make me a channel only for your purpose, Lord. I'm just a channel, and if you don't show up, Lord, really, it's all in vain. So I pray, God, and ask you, will you show up? As old revivalists said, and God stepped down, will you step down tonight and speak to somebody's heart? Use the precious word of God to speak to them, and I will surely thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and most of us know this chapter, so I won't read it for sake of time, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down through here. I'll read each verse, and then I'm going to kind of do a kind of a running commentary. I'm going to read a verse, and then I'll comment on it for a little bit. And then what I'd like to do is I'd like to show you something that I learned out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Probably, if I could make this statement, this chapter alone has probably changed my life more than any other chapter in the Scriptures. But not only has it changed my life since I got the truth that's in it, it has changed the lives around me. And I realized it didn't change their life because they got the concept of the truth, but because I got it. What I got out of the passage helped change their life just a little bit. So I want to look at this here. The Bible says, Paul is making the statement here, talking about it. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Paul makes the statement and says, listen, if I get to the place in my life that when I preach or teach or speak, that it's literally as though you're hearing an angel speak, and I have not charity, it's simply words, and that's it. He said, listen, if I get to the place that words and sounds come out of my mouth, and I am to the place that you could sit in awe and listen to me, and I don't have charity, it's really just racket. It's really just racket. And I want to say this, if I could sum up charity the best way I know how, I would say that charity is love in action. Love in action. It's not just saying you love someone, but showing them that you love them by your actions. It's putting a little feet to your love. And Paul makes the statement and says, listen, if I get to the place, how many of you just have them people in your life that you get to sit and listen to sing all the time? They just have one of them voices that you just like, enjoy. David Gibbs is one of the guys that he just has a voice he's just enjoyable to listen to. Paul said, listen, if I get to the place that, man, you could just be enamored with the way I speak and I don't show people I love them, it's only words. And then he says this in verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. He says, listen, if I get to the place that literally I could take you from Genesis chapter 1 down through the end of Revelation, and I could tell you everything about everything, and I don't show you I love you, it really makes me nothing better than anyone else. He said, listen, I don't know about you. Anybody really understand the book of Daniel? I've been through Institute, and that was 10 years ago, and I'm still trying to figure out what in the world they were talking about. The beast coming out of the sea and the horns and the, man, you got me all messed up, man. How many of you really understand the book of Revelation? I understand about 4% of the book, and that's before all that crazy stuff happens. I'm getting out of here. That's what I know. I got that much figured out, and hallelujah, it may be the only thing I'll ever get figured out. But Paul said, listen, if I get to the place, man, that I could explain the book of Daniel to you word for word, and I don't show you I love you, it really means nothing. Really means nothing. He is putting a great weight upon the subject of charity and loving people. He says this in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. He said, listen, if I get to the place, and let me say this, thank God for the men and women that gave their lives to give us the book. Thank God for them. Men and women that literally they said, denounce the name of Jesus Christ or we'll burn you at the stake. And they literally put the fire out with their own blood. Thank God for men and women like that. Thank God for men and women that they looked in them and they said, listen, we're going to kill your husband if you don't back up on Jesus. And they sat and watched them kill their husbands. But Paul said, listen, if I get to the place that I give my body to be burned and I don't have charity, it really profits me nothing. It is no account. It doesn't get me anything in this world if I give my body to be burned as a martyr and even make it in a book one day and I don't show you I love you. It doesn't even profit a thing. So with that being said, like I often do, I ask many questions. Paul, if you are saying here that there is so much importance to charity, what in the world is charity? And thankfully, he explains it in the scriptures. He says, look, and we'll go down through this very quickly if we can, so we can kind of get down to the message a little bit. Paul says this, charity suffereth long. He begins to explain it. I want you to know that there is a weight to charity, and if I get to this place in my life and I don't have charity, it really means nothing to me. So I'm going to let you know what charity is. Charity is this. Charity is the type of thing that suffereth long. You know, charity is the type of thing that puts up with a lot for a long time. How many of you know that there are some people that their ministry is just to see how good of a Christian you really are? I mean, it just seems like they have been called to be an irritant to you. All they ever do is say something negative. All they ever do is push your buttons. How many of you would agree that that kind of gets on your nerves sometimes? I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I'm probably going to show my carnality here, which I have plenty of it, but every once in a while, I just want to slap somebody. I just want to walk up to them, and really, I don't know if they'll say a whole lot the next time if I just pop them in the mouth this time. Amen. I mean, let's just settle it once and for all and just get this thing over and just let me wear you out, man. Now, I'm probably not going to do it, but you know, charity is the type of thing that when you want to pop somebody in the mouth, you don't. You just go on. Hey, man, say what you want to say. I got to just love you anyways. How many of you know it's difficult to have charity? It's difficult to... There's my brother right there, got anger problems. Hallelujah. Amen. Tie him up. Lock him up. I might say something and bother him. No, I'm just messing with you. I'm testing your charity right now, ain't I? God bless you. I'm just messing with you. Listen, man, charity is the type of thing that really just puts up with a lot and does not just throw you out the moment you make a mistake. I want to say this, charity is kind. It's kind. Charity is the type of thing that walks up to someone and just asks them, hello, how you doing today? And it really cares what the answer is. It's not a generality like, hey, how you doing? And then you turn around and walk away because you don't really care. You're just saying it so you look good. Charity is kind. Charity is sweet. Charity is gentle. Charity is nice. And by the way, does anybody know in here that one of the greatest attributes of God is kindness? Kindness? I mean, he's angry at the wicked every day, but aren't you glad he shows some kindness every once in a while? Aren't you glad he's just kind every once in a while? If I got what I deserved, I guarantee I wouldn't be here tonight. He's just kind. Charity is the type of thing that is kind. Just kind. Just kind. I want to say this, and here's the next point. Charity envieth not. There are some portions of Scripture and things that you just kind of want to take out of the Scriptures. How many of you can say amen right there? Like things that you actually have to live. Charity envieth not. You know what charity is? Charity is the type of thing that looks at someone who has a blessing and doesn't get all tied in a knot about it. Yeah. 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 Kind of like, well, why did God bless them and not me? Yeah. Well, why can't I have that? I mean, I am really something, don't you know? No, probably not. I don't know if God knows you're something. You know what charity is? Charity is the type of thing when it sees someone else have a blessing that it says, hallelujah, they got something nice. I don't know about you, every once in a while when you get evangelists, I'm an evangelist, we have a competition, and most evangelists that cannot sing don't like evangelists that can sing. We just don't like them because then they got the best of both worlds. And some of us can only rely on preaching, and sometimes preaching don't get it. So you got to go to singing. You know what I got to do every once in a while? I got to get to the place in my life and say, well, hallelujah, thanks be to God that they can sing. I mean, it's hard. It's tough that I can't sing, but thanks be unto God that God gave somebody the ability to sing. You say, why? Because a meeting goes real good if somebody knows how to sing. You ever been in a meeting, nobody knows how to sing? It's terrible. Oh, I'm going to get myself in trouble here. You know what it does? It doesn't look at someone else and say, I can't believe they got something and I didn't get something. Charity envieth not. I want to say this, charity vaunteth not itself. And by the way, I study this portion of Scripture because this is the thing I need in my life. As a young man, there's one thing you struggle with, and that's vaunting yourself. You think you are the cat's meow. I don't know what that is, but it sounds good. I stole it from somebody below the Mason-Dixon line and used it. Amen. By the way, I figured out my wife plays the violin, and down south they play the fiddle. So somebody asked me the question, what's the difference between a fiddle and a violin? I said, depends on what side of the Mason-Dixon line you're on. They play it differently. But listen, man, charity vaunteth not itself. Charity doesn't walk around and think to itself, well, man, ain't I really special? I mean, I do know the Bible and they don't. Yeah. I mean, don't you think I'm really something? I'm a Bible believer. Well, I better go on. That one didn't go over well. I'm going to take that one out of the notes for next time. Figured out this week, I got a lot of things to take out of my notes. Amen. You know what it is? It's not puffed up. It doesn't walk around with pride like, hey, I really got it together. I go to a church where we have a Bible and the real one at that. We got good music. We don't do that stuff at our church. You know what charity does? Charity says to itself, man, I wish they could get the truth. I'm really not anything special. I know that I've been given some blessings, but if I'm not careful, I'll let those blessings get to my head, and then I begin to think I'm something, even though it was just grace the whole time. Grace the whole time. Charity is not puffed up. Look at this here. The next one, doth not behave itself unseemly. Charity is the type of thing that acts the way it's supposed to act in every situation that it's ever in. Charity doesn't act like it's a fool, like a fool when it's not supposed to. How many of you know there are times you're allowed to be foolish and times you're not? Amen. Brother Earl, you better figure this one out, buddy. He's my buddy. I love little Earl. I'm going to whip him on the basketball court tonight, but we're going to. For now, you know what charity does? Charity acts the way it's supposed to act in every situation. When it's out at the grocery store, when it's when it's down at the gas station, when it's in church, when it's at its family's house, charity does not behave itself unseemly. It's always fitting. It always just goes with what's going on and never stands out in the crowd just so it can stand out in a crowd. Charity does not behave itself unseemly. Watch this. Charity seeketh not her own. Charity is the type of thing that, yes, though we need things, it looks at itself and wonders, I wonder if anybody else needs something rather than me. I mean, I like new shoes, don't get me wrong, but is there anybody around us that needs more shoes, new shoes, more than I? Charity is the thing that prefers others better than itself. Told you I need charity in my life. Seeketh not her own, watch this one, is not easily provoked. It's not short-fused. It doesn't, how many of you have heard this? I'm sorry, I'm Irish. Charity doesn't care if you're Irish. It's not easily provoked. Charity does not care if you're Italian and you're just loud and obnoxious and you just get mad at everybody else when they say something. Charity supersedes your personality and your heritage. Can I get an amen from someone? I believe that we're talking about something that supersedes what a person is and where they came from. I had a 95-year-old lady ask my wife one time. She said, is your husband German? She'd only known me a few days. She said, is your husband German? She said, yeah, how could you tell? She said, he's bullheaded. He's bullheaded. So, man, she got my number. You know what charity doesn't let me be? Use German as an excuse. I just want to cut your head off because you just said something and I'm sick and tired of you. Forget about it. I can't help it. I'm German. It's not short-fused. Charity doesn't have road rage. You say, do you have road rage? As little as possible, but you drive as much as I do. And every once in a while, I don't say the words anymore, but if you write them down, I'll sign the paper. Amen. I sure think them. It's amazing how them things just ain't gone. I can't remember the words half the time to Amazing Grace, but I sure can remember them words when somebody cuts me off. Well, I just got road rage. You'll just have to bear with me. Charity doesn't use that as an excuse. Charity is not easily provoked. It does not get mad every time some little situation happens in its life. Well, I'm not charity. Watch this one. Charity thinketh no evil. Charity thinketh no evil. Charity doesn't look at someone and say, yeah, well, I bet the reason they wrecked their car is because Achan has something in his tent. It doesn't look at someone every time something happens and say, well, I wonder what kind of sin they're hiding is the reason God's judging them. I wonder what they're doing that they shouldn't be doing that nobody else, and God's just trying to reveal it. Charity thinketh no evil. How many of you, someone's come up and said, yeah, well, this happened and that happened, and the first thought in your mind, I wonder what they're doing wrong. I wonder why that happened to them. And you're just talking to them just to investigate, to find out what's wrong in their life so that you can tell them, hey, brother, I'll tell you why you got in a car accident. Because remember, think of no evil. Think of no evil. You say, how do you know all this stuff? Because this is what goes through my mind on a daily basis as a human. Look at this here. It says, rejoiceth not in iniquity. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Charity doesn't get excited when iniquity wins. Charity's not the type of thing when somebody who's been coming to church does something in their life and next thing you know, they're in a program somewhere. And it gets excited and says, well, I mean, if they would have stayed in church, I mean, they got what they deserved. I mean, if they would have stayed in church, they wouldn't have gotten that program, but you know, that's what they needed. Charity does not get excited when sin wins. Amen. Amen. Yeah. When people mess up their life and they've done something they shouldn't do, charity does not get excited that they're now getting what they deserve. Charity does not get excited about that type of thing. But watch this. Rejoiceth in the truth. Charity gets excited when truth wins. When truth gets the best of someone and someone gets their life right, charity gets all excited about it. Hallelujah, hallelujah that this man got his life right. Doesn't matter what he did. Doesn't matter where he's been. Hallelujah, God won. God got him this time, and hallelujah for it, brother. I'm so happy for you. Been on this side now for 10 years after coming out of a program, and I'm still excited. Still excited about it. Rejoiceth in the truth. Let's go to the next one, and we'll start getting to the message. Verse 7 says, beareth all things. Charity is the type of thing that no matter what load someone is under, charity wants to try to do its best to bear that burden for someone else. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Charity is the type of things that, and let me say this, it uses what we call the word that everybody has to go to the Greek and Hebrew to figure out, and that's all. All. That means no matter what burden they're under, it's not your job to figure out the burden. It's your job to bear the burden. Charity is the type of thing when a brother is beneath a load that he can't handle on his own, you get up underneath of that person and say, brother, can I help you with the load? Can I do something for you? Is there anything I can help you with? Is there any way I can just put a little bit of load on my trailer to get you home? I heard a story many years ago. I'm not a big reader, but I try to read as much as I can. And I heard a story, or read a story, I don't know, and I probably can't recall it perfectly, but there was a story about some men, young men, it might have been World War II or something, and they were in fighter jets, and they were in planes, and they were going over there fighting the enemy, and man, they're in their planes, and what amazing men that was in that day. Flew them planes, and one of the guys got his wings shot off. And there's another guy sitting there, and he watches his friend get shot, and he thinks to himself, what in the world can I do? We're in the midst of the air. We're in the midst of battle. They're shooting at us. Man, if I help that guy out, I could risk my life. I don't know what I'm going to do. The story said that what the one pilot did with such grace and such wisdom, he got up underneath the wing of the other plane. They turned around and he risked his life doing this because he could no longer fight in the battle like he should, but he went and turned around and literally limped the plane all the way back to the ground. The guy got some kind of medal for it. You know what charity is? It's when someone who's been shot in battle, you're the plane that says, though I may not be able to fight for a moment, and though I may risk my life, I'm going to get up underneath of them and just get them home safely if I can. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the devil winning. I'm tired of the devil taking people out of our churches. I'm tired of people getting wounded and nobody getting up underneath of them and just trying to do our best to get our brother home. We just sit and watch and think, well, there goes another one. Charity says, no, I'm not going to sit back. I'm going to do what I can. I might risk my life, but let me get up underneath and just try to get my brother home. I want to go through these very quickly. Believeth all things. When you tell charity something, charity just believes it. Well, I'm sorry, brother. I'm late. I was caught in traffic. Yeah, I bet you were caught in traffic. You probably got up too late and you didn't. It just believes it. You know what charity does? Charity hopeth all things. Charity looks and sees a person and says, I hope one day it's going to be all right for them. I sure hope they're going to be all right one day. Amen. I got a brother and sister right now that they were my heroes when I got saved. got my life straightened out, and man, there were times where Friday nights got awfully alluring to me. I wanted to go out and I wanted to do my thing, but I had a sister and a brother-in-law who were faithful to God, and he was a deacon and she run a deaf ministry, and man, they were just faithful in church, and they were like a safe haven to me. And Friday nights I'd go over to their house and I'd just sit there, and they probably saved my life a dozen times or more. And I'd go over there, and man, they've been wounded and some things have been hurt, and they've made some decisions that I don't think they ought to make, but nevertheless, they're not in church now. It's been about a year since they've been in church. And man, my heart cries out. I hope one day they come back. My brother-in-law, I was just in town and I was flying through one day or driving through. And man, I gave my brother-in-law a hug and I go through and I spend time with them and I just try to minister to them and love on them. And I know they made some decisions they shouldn't, but man, they were hurt and some things happened. And I was talking with him and I was getting ready to leave, and my brother-in-law just gave me a big hug. And he looked at me with tears in his eyes and he said, "Bro, keep doing what you're doing. He ain't going to church. He knows what's right." But he was just looking at me saying, "Don't give up on me. Don't give up on me. I'll be there before too long. I'm going through something right now, but I'll be there. Don't give up. Don't quit going around trying to rescue people. Don't give up on me. Don't give up on me." Man, I cried like a baby when I left. I probably cried for 4 or 5 hours because all I could see him doing was saying, "Don't give up hope on me. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. I just might be all right in a year's time. I just might be all right in 2 years' time. Charity hopeth all things." I want to say this: charity endureth all things. Charity goes all the way, all the time. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame? Aren't you glad on the cross, when he could have come down, he didn't come down? Aren't you glad he went all the way for you and I? I'm telling you what, when it come to the biggest trial in his life where God turned his back on him, I'm glad he endured. I'm glad he endured. Just puts up with a lot for a long time. Then we get to this, what I think is a very crucial statement, and then we'll get into a little portion of Scripture that I want to talk to for a few moments before I'm done. The Bible says this: charity never faileth.
Thank God. Amen.
He makes the statement, and we've often heard never say never, but Paul didn't believe in that. He knew without a doubt, I can bet my life that charity never fails. That it always, always, always works.
That's right.
That it always comes out on top. That charity always wins.
Amen.
When other things don't win, charity wins. Never fails.
Amen.
Then you get this little kind of side note here. It says, "But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." He said, listen, one day the prophecies are going to fail. Preaching's going to be done, but charity's going to go on. Tongues are going to be done. They're going to cease. Knowledge is going to stop. Man, we only know a little bit of what we know, and we only prophesy in part because we only know a little bit of what we're going to know one day.
Amen.
He said, man, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And I believe what he's saying, man, one day the Lord's coming back. And when he sets it all straight, and charity at its best comes, then prophecies, you won't even need them. Knowledge, it's not going to matter because charity's going to be the perfect thing and it's going to work. And then you have this, really what I call the left field verse of the chapter. The Bible says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." And then it's almost like that thing comes from left field, and then he goes back to what he was saying. "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even also as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And I'm going to get to my truth in just a second that I saw here, the portion of Scripture. But it's almost like Paul is saying here in the chapter, he says, listen, I'm telling you something right now. Charity is one of the most important things that you and I in our life can have. And here's what charity is. And man, one day it's going to all be over. We only know a little bit of what we're going to know. One day it's all going to be over. It's all going to be gone. It's all going to be perfect. And he says, listen, with knowing all that, I can say without a doubt of faith, hope, and charity, of the greatest of these is charity. He said, we only see through a glass darkly. We just see a little bit of what we're going to see. But with what little I see, I can guarantee you and tell you charity is the greatest thing that you can have. But where does the left field verse come in? I've heard this verse preached on many a times, and I'm glad I did. But when I was a child, I spake as a child. And man, when you become an adult, you need to walk like an adult and talk like an adult. You need to make your bed, and you need to do those things. And man, you need to do something with your life, and you need to go get a job. And they preach this whole message on being a man. But I'm not sure that's exactly what Paul was talking about in Corinthians. I believe what he was saying here is that if you're not charitable, you are childish. He said, listen, I've understood that one of the greatest things on planet Earth is charity. That, man, I've come to the place that really preaching and all these things are wonderful, but if I don't show people I love them, then it really means nothing. And it is the greatest thing on planet Earth. But if I'm not being charitable to people, I'm being childish. And I understand only what I'm going to know one day, but with what little I do know. When I was a child, I spake as a child. So now that I understood and fully comprehend what I believe I think charity is, and I realize it's the greatest, it caused me to grow up a little bit. In Jesus. I'm not going to be as childish as I used to be when it comes to charity and living like a Christian. Amen. Let me give you a few scenarios and I will take just a few more minutes and be done. Let me give you a scenario. I have two little boys. Wonderful little boys. I love them. Love them to death. But they're boys. And you say, okay, boys, and you want to teach them something, and I'm not trying to train them to worship a God, but I like them to play a little baseball because I want them to be men. I want them to be boys. I want them to play a little bit. So you give one a baseball and you give one a bat. And you say, okay, Joel, you throw the ball to Michael and you hit the ball. And once you hit the ball, you take the bat and you give it to him. And you walk out of the room or somewhere else or wherever you're at. And all of a sudden you hear this curdling scream. Ah! And you go out. And you're on your way there, and then you hear the other one. Ah! And you go out, and they're both crying. And you look at the one, and you say, son, what happened? He hit me in the head with a bat. You say, well, what happened to you? He hit me in the head with a bat. You talk to him for a minute, and you calm him down, and you say, son, what happened? And he says, Dad, we were just playing, and we weren't meaning anything by it, and all of a sudden, Joel just got a little close and I accidentally hit him in the head with a bat. So I said, well, why didn't you come get me? Well, I thought it was best to pick the bat up and hit him back. Anybody have, is it just me? Maybe I'm just, again, showing my carnality. And with all my heart, I look at my children and I say to them, this is not the way you react to the situation. If someone accidentally hits you in the head with a bat, you drop the bat and you go tell the father. Let me apply this to the message so we can actually understand what I'm saying. If someone accidentally hits you in the head with a bat, you don't pick it up and hit them back.
Yeah, good. Come on.
If they say something to you that you don't like, you don't say something back that's childish.
Yeah.
You drop the bat and you go tell the Father and He'll handle the situation.
Amen.
Let me give you another one very quickly. I'll give you the illustration. I have two little boys. They're wonderful little boys. Did I say that? They're great little kids. I love them. I love them. I love them. And we've learned that, I don't know why it is, but it don't matter what toy you buy a child, it's the other one always wants the toy. I mean, it doesn't matter what you buy them, the other one always wants what the other one has. And so you say, we're going to fix this. We're going to buy one of them a green truck, one of them a blue truck. And it's going to have 33s on it and Swampers. It's going to have a gun rack in it. It's going to have a rebel flag. I mean, it's going to have the whole thing. Can I get a witness? Am I above the Mason-Dixon line here? Because I didn't get as many amens as I thought I would. I mean, this truck can go anywhere. It can do anything. Except one is green and one is blue. Only difference. Same motor. They both make the same noise that drive parents crazy. And let me give you some wisdom, grandparents. Don't buy us anything that makes noise. My mother-in-law will say, where's that toy I bought him? I threw it out. It makes noise. Don't buy one. Anyways, that was a side note. Joel, this is a green truck. It's got 33s. It's got a gun rack. It's got everything you want, son. Michael, here's a blue truck. It's got 33s. It's got a gun rack. It's got everything you want. And you walk out of the room, and 10 minutes later, you come back, and they're fighting over the green truck. And I'm thinking to myself, why are you fighting over a green truck? Well, his truck's better than mine. And so you settle it, and you say, okay, here's your blue truck, here's your green truck. You stay over here, play with yours. You stay in your court, and you play with yours. And you guys, if you want to ram them and have fun with them, do whatever you want. And you leave, and 10 minutes later, you come back, and they're fighting over the blue truck. Is it just me? And I think to myself, this is so childish. It's the same truck. One is green and one is blue. And I'm thinking to myself, is that kind of the way we are sometimes? And I begin to think of the book that I'm in, and I begin to think about who he's writing this letter to. And he said, I'm writing this letter to a people who I can't even write to as spiritual, but as under carnal. And I have to feed you with milk, and I can't feed you with meat because you're arguing over a green truck and a blue truck. Let me just get myself in deeper trouble than I am. You're fighting over I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. And I can't even talk to you as spiritual because you're fighting over a green truck and a blue truck. It's the same truck. Can I apply it to our modern day vernacular, as they say? You're fighting over, and I think both men are great because I've never touched the hem of either one of them's garment. You're fighting over, I'm of Ruckman and I'm of Hiles. And I'm of Roloff. And I'm of John R. Rice. And I'm of so-and-so. And Paul said, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you. You want to know why? Because you guys are sitting here fighting over green trucks and blue trucks, and it's a bunch of childish nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Paul said, listen, I've come to the place in my life that I've realized I don't want to be a child no more. I don't want to fight over green trucks and blue trucks anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to look like a child and have the father come down with a broken heart and say, son, I gave you this and this one's yours. I gave you this and this one's yours. You do the best with this truck you can, and you do the best with this truck you can, and enjoy your truck. You know, one of the greatest devastations to a father's heart is when he comes and sees his children fighting over nothing.
Yeah. Mom.
That's good, preacher.
What are we fighting over? I got a green truck. Okay. I got a blue truck.
They both do the same thing. They both go the same places, except the different paint job.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Listen. Listen. And I need it as much as anybody in this world. As I travel, I often say this. Can't we all just get along? I mean, when I walk in the church, they always ask me the same question. Where did you go to school? And I'm glad that I can say I went through a small institute in Dayton, Ohio. You say, why? So they don't cut my head off before I get to the preaching. They don't ask you if you believe in tongues. They just ask you, are you of Paul or of you or Apollos? Or are you of Christ and you're outside bearing the reproach? What does it matter?
Amen.
What does it matter? Play with the truck. Enjoy the truck. That's the truck God gave you.
Amen.
Have all the fun in the world you want with the truck. But get along with the guy who has the other truck. And let's get something done for Jesus for once.
Amen. Amen.
If you're not charitable, you might possibly be childish. You know what Paul said? When I realized it, I grew up. And I've tried my best since I realized how important charity is. To be a man and be a Christian and get along with those, though we may differ in color, paint color, we're trying to get something done for Jesus. You know what I want to be in my life? I don't know about you, but I want to be charitable. I want to be the type when someone hits me on accident that I just go and tell the Father and say, Father, he hit me in the head with a bat. Can you take care of it? I know I'm envious of his green truck, but I know you just gave me a blue truck, so would you help me be content with the blue truck?
Amen.
I can do a lot with a blue truck. May not be able to do what the green truck does, but I can do a lot if I'm just content with the blue truck. If you're not charitable, you're childish.
Amen. That's good preaching. Good preaching. Jesse, you want to play something? Good preaching. My wife and I was down in Florida. We went to different churches to check them out. Some of the guys weren't really my cup of tea, but